From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy signed a bill into law protecting an Unungak cemetery in Funter Bay on Tuesday at the Juneau Douglas City Museum. Martin Stepton has been advocating to protect the Funter Bay Cemetery since 2014.
We've seen so many times all throughout our country where sacred grounds have been desecrated and disrespected and not cared for. And that's what this bill does, is it protects it from happening, you know.
During World War II, the U.S. government forced Unungak people to live in an internment camp in Funter Bay on Admiralty Island. 30 to 40 people died and are buried in a cemetery there. The bill that's being signed today adds the land this cemetery is on to the Funter Bay Marine Park. That means it can't be sold or developed, ensuring that the cemetery is protected. Stepton came to the bill signing with many family members, in addition to lawmakers and other people already in Juneau. Leaders from the Aleut Corporation and TDX Corporation, the Village Corporation of St. Paul, flew down to Juneau for the signing event. For Constance Burgot, vice president of the TDX Corporation, the feeling of the bill being passed is indescribable in a good way, but also bittersweet.
It's sad because it took, you know, the last time, I guess, the elders that came down, there was four or five of them, they're no longer with us, so it's sad, but it's healing and at the same time, too, I think.
For Tara Burdakovsky, director of the Aleut Corporation, the bill is educational for everyone.
Probably a lot of people, even my own fellow Unanga, much in the way that many still don't understand what happened in World War II, that the bill is probably even a little foreign to them and what it means, because people are still learning about it, even my own people.
And even though the bill is now law, Burdakovsky says it will require continual education for people to understand the effects of the World War II internment on the Unungak people to this day. And in other news, this weekend, Sitkins gathered in memory of the 215 Indigenous children whose remains were discovered last week on the grounds of a former residential school in Canada. Attendees brought photos, sang, and told stories of family members' experiences at residential schools. On the lawn of Sitka's former boarding school, Sheldon Jackson, around 70 people commemorated the lost children and acknowledged the complicated local history with residential schooling. KCAW's Tosh Kimmel attended the vigil and brings us this audio postcard.
In light of the 215 bodies that were found at a boarding school in Canada, some folks started talking about the history of Sheldon Jackson College, and there actually are some graves here on the grounds of children who died while they were here. And so I think it's time that we start talking about what the specific historical trauma is and acknowledging it so we can heal and move forward.
There has never been and there never will be anything that has been wrong with the Tlingit way or the native way of our spirituality. We know the natural rhythm of the land, the natural rhythm of the seas, of the ocean, of the mountain that stands before us, and the trees and the roots of this ground.
probably every single person here has had to fight really hard to stay who we are, because so many times it is still not accepted.
I ask you to think about these things and to think about the trauma that exists in your life and the skeletons that we carry around in our hearts. And I ask you to look within yourself and have some difficult conversations so that the pains that we experience do not get passed on.
Voices heard in that audio include Steve Johnson, Paulette Moreno, Luis Brady, and Dave Kanosh. And during the drought in southeast Alaska a few years ago, a small insect called a sawfly ate the needles off about 500,000 acres of hemlock trees in the Tongass National Forest. But as Claire Strempel reports for Alaska's Energy Desk, scientists say most trees should recover.
We pull off the road about 25 miles north of downtown Juneau and stand in the rain looking at partially dead trees.
But you can see there's probably, you know, in this little stand right here, about 30 dead tops that I can see just on this little hillside.
Elizabeth Graham is an entomologist with the National Forest Service. She points out some peaked-looking hemlocks.
And that's a good example of what we're seeing in other places. Not every tree affected, but... you know, a small portion.
Dead crowns in the canopy and rusty colored branches are woven in with the otherwise healthy green temperate rainforest. About a third of the trees around here were hit by the voracious sawfly. The larvae get mistaken for caterpillars. Adults are a kind of non-stinging wasp, a little smaller than a pinky finger. In 2018 and 2019, drought conditions allowed the hemlock sawfly to thrive in southeast Alaska. Now, they're mostly done eating the needles off of hemlock trees, but the damage from their two-year feast is still apparent.
And when I was doing these stories 2 years ago, I told everyone, oh, none of the trees are going to die, you know, it's just a defoliator.
Some trees are going to die. They lost a lot more needles than she thought they would. But Graham says sawflies are nothing like the spruce beetle, a really lethal pest if you're a tree.
The message I was originally just trying to get out was, you know, it's not going to be that bad, but it made me a liar, so I apologize for that.
Bare, sad-looking hemlocks are going to stick out a bit in Juneau, Western Admiralty, Northern Prince of Wales, and Mitkoff and Kuprinoff Islands. But the Forest Service isn't taking any action beyond monitoring because the ecosystem is sorting things out on its own. Sawfly isn't an invasive species. Its larvae slowed down naturally because rain came back to the region after 2 years of drought conditions. The rain brought a fungus that infects the sawfly and controls the population. But Graham says it's still a big deal. This is the biggest sawfly outbreak on record since the 1950s.
When we saw this outbreak, and I saw it from the plane in 2019, the only way I can describe it is impressive.
When the Forest Service began to track the sawfly feeding frenzy, they observed about 50,000 acres of the Tongass were affected. A year later, aerial surveys showed that the number had ballooned to 500,000 acres.
The thing that, like, I keep repeating to remember is, you know, that it is a natural part of our ecosystem. And, you know, we're hoping that the impacts will be minimal.
Scientists are tracking the damage. They want to know the extent of the forest affected and how many trees don't pull through. Scientists spent last year monitoring the outbreak via satellite, since COVID-19 meant they couldn't get in small planes together for aerial surveys. There are drawbacks to monitoring a tiny insect from space, but the images did give scientists a sense of where to look when they're back in the air this summer, and they're hoping there won't be much new activity to see. Reporting in Juneau for Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Claire Strempel.
The Juneau School District Board of Education passed a slight change to graduation requirements last night. The next three graduating classes will have to earn half a credit less than the classes before them in order to graduate. For more on this and other news stories, go to KTOO.org. This is KTOO News.